Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here is a Bible teaching session from 1 Kings chapter 3 entitled Prayers for Wisdom.
It has been said, if you want knowledge, go to school. If you want understanding, go to work with your daddy. If you want wisdom, ask from God. God freely gives wisdom to those who ask Him. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, sometimes we say if any man lacks wisdom, but actually it says if any of you lack wisdom, men, women, children, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God desires to give wisdom to us so we can direct our life with knowledge and understanding. Out of God's mouth cometh wisdom, knowledge and understanding. The wisdom of the Lord is started with fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Prayers for wisdom is what we're talking about today. Solomon is known as the wisest man on earth. And he was a wise man. We could be wiser if we would depend on God, just like Solomon did. Solomon had some mistakes in his life, but as long as he depended on God, things went well. And even if things don't go so well in our life, we know that if we put our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, that everything is going to be all right. Yeah. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That verse sounds like to me that God is hankering, if you will, to give wisdom. He does not want to hold it back from us. It's not like God is holding his blessing back from us, that we have to do a certain magic thing or twist his arm a certain way or say the exact right thing in order to get him to do what we need or give us wisdom or whatever it is. God wants to give wisdom. He wants to bless us. He wants to save. He desires to heal. He desires to do good things for his people. The reason that we don't see the good things sometimes happening is not God's fault. We have been put into this way of thinking now in our generation that because we don't see these great things happening, that it must not be the way that God moves anymore. Well, if we're not careful, we will take on what is called the cessationalist view that believes that these things have ceased, they don't happen anymore. They may have ceased, but it's not a doctrinal thing that God means for it to stop. God never meant for healings to stop. He never meant for miracles to stop. If they stop, and God just stops saving, He'll come on and get us. If nobody else is going to get saved, He'll just come and get us. Take us home to be with Him. But even in the tribulation period, there are people saved. There's never a time when people are not supposed to be saved. People are always supposed to be saved. Wisdom is needed to direct our life. We don't want to fall into these pitfalls that believe that just because something doesn't happen when I pray, or just because I don't see something, that is a sign that it's not supposed to happen. If God's Word teaches that things are supposed to happen, then they're supposed to happen no matter what, no matter if we see it happening or not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even when we don't see it, we believe it. If we wait to believe it when we see it, then we'll never see it because we never believe it. Some people say, I will never believe it till I see it. No, you'll never see it until you believe it. You have to believe first. Solomon, we're in 1 Kings chapter 3. God offers him something. And Solomon, of course you know, is the son of David. He takes the kingdom after David. It says in verse 1 that Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took his daughter, Pharaoh's daughter. Now, this is a good lesson. We want to give you some juicy fruit or that old tea berry chewing gum or some good old, what was it, blackjack? Some of you probably don't like that, don't remember it. Old drug stores used to sell it. Cloves chewing gum, dentine. Brush your breath with dentine. Some Pentecostals can use that on the altar, can't they? Brush your breath with dentine. Well, sometimes you need a good refresher, and I hope the lesson is a refresher today. But you got to tell the truth when the Bible tells the truth, and that was something that Solomon did that he shouldn't have done. He had no business making affinity, being an ally with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's where God brought the children of Israel out of. Solomon should not have made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, because even though some things went well for Solomon, and he had great wisdom, you know that he did this before God gave him all that wisdom. And when he made affinity with him, that was the start of something that would eventually turn into idol worship and all these things that would happen that would be a plague in the kingdom. So he makes affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he takes his daughter. He becomes an ally of the king of Egypt through marriage. He brought her to the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. So they sacrificed and they burned incense in high places. The word for high places just means a hill or a high place that was dedicated through religious activities for services. This was a special hill or some hill, and it could be anywhere, where you would burn offerings or burn incense, the high places. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? God didn't mean for them to do that because that was a show-off of religion. We don't need to show off our religion. We need to brag about Jesus and make a big deal about him, but we don't need to show off our religion. Somebody said, are you a Pentecostal? I said, yeah, I am. I just don't have to stay all here all day to prove it. I know what I am, and I don't have to prove what I am. I am what I am because of the grace of God. But these high places, there was no house built for the Lord, so they sacrificed on the hills. Solomon loved the Lord. This is the good part. He made affinity with Pharaoh. That was a bad thing. That persimmon before the frost hit it, that sour taste in your mouth, bad taste in your mouth. But here it says Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. So they still had that little stickle there about burning incense in high places, which wasn't a big deal then, but later on it would become to bite them in the behookas. That's what happens when you do something that you really shouldn't do. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for Gibeon was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. So Solomon was big about offerings, sacrifices, and so many that sometimes they could not even be numbered. He had this thing about offering. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. What if God were to come to you in a dream and say, ask what I shall give you? What is it that you want? I would not think that I would want the Lord to do that sometimes, because I'm a pretty foolish asker sometimes. I can't even decide on what to tell my wife I want to eat. Much less the Lord coming to me and asking me what I want. I think y'all really need to pray for me. When a woman says, what do you want to eat? I could ask her anything on the moon. She's probably trying to give it to me. What do married men say, fellas? Oh, no, it don't matter. Why don't you say a filet mignon or something, a T-bone or... piece of fish or hog jaw or something other. We say it don't matter. A lot of times it don't matter. Sometimes it makes you so mad you could eat a turnip green biscuit. That's getting me pretty mad, ain't it? No, turnip green biscuit would be all right. Pinto beans, navy beans, ice cream, you scream. We all scream for ice cream. Nothing wrong with that. Cabbage, collards, or taters, or something. Sounds like you're not too hard to please, but the thing is, God says, what shall I give you? What do you want? Solomon could have asked for anything. Solomon prays for wisdom. So Solomon said, and he's talking to the Lord in this dream, God is talking to him, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that chesed, kindness, mercy, that word is mentioned several times in this passage. You kept this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. Na'ar, katon, means I'm just a little kid. I'm just a lad. I'm the youngest lad. Just a little lad. Just a little child. We know that Solomon was an adult age. It was not talking about his numbered age. It was talking about, I'm just a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Lord, to be honest with you, I really don't know what I'm doing. David was such a successful king. My father, he could play the harp. I can't play the harp. My father, he could take care of sheep. I can't take care of sheep. My father, he was a good king in the kingdom. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, to be honest with you, I'm just a little child. I feel like that even though I'm a grown man, I'm in my 40s, and even though that I'm king, I'm established king, I've been anointed, I've had the anointing all put on me, I've had the crown on my head, I've been sitting on the throne, I'm king, but I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. All these people, and all these people have not one problem. Be bad enough if everyone had one problem, but it seems like all the people, every one of them have 10,000 problems. So you can imagine, about like being a pastor of a church. People don't have one problem, they got 10. Seems like all these problems. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Lord, who can do it? Nobody can do it in themselves. And it says the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. Oh, that my speech would please the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want my words, my speech, my thoughts to please the Lord more than they do. And I'm sure that you feel the same way too. We want our lives to be pleasing to the Lord. The song said, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want to be all he wants me to be. And when I come to that great eternity, he'll smile and say that he is satisfied with me. Some people sing that song, but the way they're living, and I'm not the judge, but the way they're living, if they want the Lord to be satisfied with them, they need to shape up before they ship out. Because the time is short. Jesus could come at any moment. We don't have time to waste our life and continue playing games with God. We got to get serious about life and eternity. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I'm going to make you an example for all those who will follow. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I've not only given you what you asked for, but I've given you what you didn't ask for. And that's a good thing for us to know, because when we pray for what's right, and when we ask for what is right, God will not only give us that, but a lot of times He'll give us more than what we even ask for. God does supply my needs, but He does better than that. He gives me more than my needs. He gives me a lot of my wants. And I don't even know what I want. He lavishes His blessing upon me, and He gives me things that I'm not even thinking about. That special brownie. I know the hips say you don't need it, but that special cup of coffee. Just the little things that you don't think about. And when you pray over it, it just tastes so much better and gooder than it would have if you just gulp it down and don't think anything about it. God blesses what we have. What we have may not be much. And we was growing up on a mill hill, and in the country, what you have wasn't much. But if you put God first, He blesses it. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and offered peace offerings. He made a feast to all his servants. So here he is offering again. And now he knows that God has blessed him and given him the wisdom of his heart. And Solomon shows this wisdom in supernatural ways. And the Bible says that all the people and kings and people of the earth came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. There came two women that were harlots, and they stood before the king. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. It came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Can you imagine? Two pregnant women in one house. And I'll just leave that alone right there where it is. All right? Lord have mercy. And that's what happened. I was delivered of a child. 3 days later, she was delivered of a child. This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. If you think that we just had things grotesque and all kind of things happen in our day, it's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
I know that Washington has crooks, but crooks didn't start just in Washington. There was deception that went on ever since Cain killed Abel. So she arose, this woman said, she arose at midnight, took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, I rose to nurse the baby. Behold, it was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. I realized it wasn't really mine. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Now you have Judge Judy, and now you got King Solomon. Dum, ba, bum, bum, bum. Then said the king, The one says, This is my son that is living, thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. The king said, Bring me a sword. Oh my goodness, what's he going to do? Bring me a sword? What in the world are you going to do with a sword? Is the king going to kill the women? Is he going to kill his children? Is he so upset about what he's talking about? Maybe he'll kill himself. Who knows? Woo. Bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was, the real mother, said to the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. See how the truth comes out? Truth will not only set you free, sometimes it'll condemn the other one. The other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Her mouth overloaded her other end, didn't it? Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. This was the first of the beginning of many. Solomon executed wisdom, and the wisdom of God was in him. Solomon was known as the wisest man in the world. And we're not talking about Christ. We know Christ has all wisdom and knowledge and all that. But as far as mortal men in this world, Solomon was known as the wisest man. The queen of Sheba, when she came to him, she said, the half was not told me of all your wisdom. And many men heard the wisdom. And we're still hearing the wisdom that God put in Solomon's heart. All the Proverbs and all the Psalms and the Ecclesiastes and all this that we have because of the wisdom of Solomon. God is no respecter of persons. If you need wisdom, and I say if you need wisdom, who in the world, in the day that we're living, with disease, pandemic, trouble, violence, decisions that have to be made, who in the world does not need wisdom? We need wisdom, brothers and sisters. We cannot just go by the seat of our pants. I don't care how tough your Levi's are, you can't go by the seat of your pants. You need the wisdom of God. When a call comes to your phone and says, we'll sell you a warranty on your car, you got to have wisdom enough to hang up. Because they're not going to sell you a warranty. Yeah, they'll sell you a warranty, but it ain't worth nothing. All they want is trying to get your money. And you were raised the same way I were. You're not raised. Daddy and Mama told me, even we had the party phone, the party telephone. Don't look at me like you don't know if you remember that. You had a party phone too. Party line. We had that party line. Don't you hang up on them. We were raised not to hang up on them. But I'm not trying to disobey Mama and Daddy, but you can't go by that now. You got to hang up on them. It's rude not to hang up on them. Anyway, that's just Tony's 2 cents, but Solomon will help us, and God will help us more than Solomon will. Same wisdom that God gave Solomon, he'll give us. And we need it in the day that we live. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, through this weak, weary land. I am weak. Thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon. We thank you for the wisdom that you put in his heart. The same God is no respecter of persons. We'll put the wisdom of God in our heart that we need. We trust you for the wisdom. We thank you for the knowledge. We thank you for the understanding. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. May the wisdom of God, the power of God, the love of God, the word of God touch this generation for Jesus Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Bible teaching session from 1 Kings chapter 3, entitled Prayers for Wisdom. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you know Him as your Lord today. He will fill your heart with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.